Start this morning by asking anyone who served in our armed forces at any point in their life if you would be willing to stand. I would appreciate it if you'll stand. And I'd like to take a moment with, I think the best way for us to do this to honor in appreciation your service is to give you a hand. Thank you. And gentlemen, because today it was gentlemen that stood, thank you. And I want to thank the families that also had military that served. And so I'd like to take a moment, if you had a husband or a son or even a close relative, we'll say, that served in the military and you felt some of their sacrifice, I'd appreciate if you would stand as well. I'd like to honor you because it's a tremendous sacrifice. So let's take a moment and honor the family members. It is a great thing to be able to serve your country. It is a great thing to be able to serve, especially in times of war or what politicians deem conflict, and survive. And I think of what a great thing it is for some that serve and in this life don't survive. I was reminded of a young man from Spotsylvania High School during convocation on Friday. And an award or a memorial fund was honored in the name of Sergeant Frazier. And Sergeant Frazier was a graduate of Spotsylvania High School, and he went into the Marines. And he served in 2006, served in Desert Storm, came back from his tour, and found that the next group was about to go, and he begged to be able to go with them because he was single and he felt that there might be a Marine who had family that might be able to stay home if he went. And so he did. He went and served. And when it was his time to come back again, before he came back, he said, "No, I'd like to serve a second tour with this group." And he did. And then it was time for him once again to come back and he said, "I'd like to serve a third tour." And it was during that tour that his life was taken. But I think of men like that who truly understand sacrifice. They understand sacrifice for another, for their countrymen. And I know many of you understand that, and some of you who stood have lost friends, most likely in some kind of war or conflict that our nation has been part of. I think what a great thing that is. So today, being the day before Memorial Day, of course, it's very appropriate for us to speak of memorialization. That's a big, tough, long word. But it is to memorialize those who have gone before. I'd like to start with a story from the radio commentator Paul Harvey. Some of you may remember him. He read this: "It is gratitude that prompted an old man to visit an old broken pier on the eastern seacoast of Florida. Every Friday night until his death in 1973, he would return, walking slowly and slightly stooped, with a large bucket of shrimp. The seagulls would flock to this old man, and he would feed them from his bucket. Many years before, in October 1942, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was on a mission in a B-17 to deliver an important message to General Douglas MacArthur in New Guinea. But there was an unexpected detour which would hurl Captain Eddie into the most harrowing adventure of his life. Somewhere over the South Pacific, the Flying Fortress became lost beyond the reach of radio. Fuel range dangerously low. The men ditched their plane in the ocean. For nearly a month, Captain Eddie and his companions would fight the water, the weather, and the scorching sun. They spent many sleepless nights recoiling as giant sharks rammed their rafts, the largest raft being 9 feet by 5 feet, and the biggest shark being over 10 feet. Of all their enemies at sea, one proved most formidable: starvation. 8 days, now they were in the water over a month, 8 days out, their rations were long gone or destroyed by salt water, and it would take a miracle to sustain them. And a miracle occurred. Now we'll have a commercial break, as Paul Harvey would do, right? And I'll do that by just coming up here. Now for the rest of the story. Let me get back to it. In Captain Eddie's own words, the B-17 pilot, Captain William Cherry, read the worship service that afternoon, and we finished with a prayer for deliverance and a hymn of praise. Now, these men are starving, and they had a worship service and a hymn of praise. I think that is just amazing. He continued, there was some talk, but it tapered off in the oppressive heat. With my hat pulled down over my eyes to keep out some of the glare, I dozed off. Now, this is still Captain Rickenbacker talking. Something landed on my head. I knew that it was a seagull. I don't know how I knew, I just knew. Everyone else knew too. No one said a word. But peering out from under my hat brim without moving my head, I could see the expression on my ship, my mate's faces. They were staring at that gull. That gull meant food. If I could catch it. Well, as they say, the rest is history. Captain Eddie caught the gull rather easily. Its flesh, of course, was eaten. Its innards were used for bait to catch fish. And the survivors were sustained and their hopes renewed because a lone seagull, uncharacteristically hundreds of miles from land, offered itself as a sacrifice. You know that Captain Eddie made it. And now you also know that he never forgot, because every Friday evening about sunset on a lonely stretch along the eastern Florida seacoast, you could see an old man walking, white-haired, bushy-eyebrowed, slightly bent. His bucket filled with shrimp was to feed the gulls, to remember that one which on a day long past gave itself without a struggle, like manna in the wilderness. Think of this. If a man who had gained life in a situation like that, with a seagull, chose to memorialize that seagull by feeding other gulls the rest of his days, then even more all Americans should memorialize the men and women who have died for us to live the life that we live today and the lifestyle that we have. Even more, Christian Americans should memorialize Jesus Christ's sacrifice, which allows us to have not just life or any particular lifestyle, but hope of eternal life. For Captain Rickenbacker, the goal for life, for Americans, soldiers for a lifestyle, and for Christians, Jesus for eternal life. Let's open our sermon in prayer. Holy God, I thank you for the privilege of bringing your word today. We come on the brink of Memorial Day to memorialize soldiers who have fought for our freedom here in this country. God, how much more you gave in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us to have true freedom, freedom from sin and bondage, from unrest, freedom from dismay and wrath to eternal glory, eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Now, if you'll go ahead and open your Bible, please, to John chapter 15. The Gospel of John, chapter 15. While you're turning, please let me share a sweet story of proposed sacrifice. It is said that Cyrus, the founder of the Persian Empire, once had captured a prince and his whole family. When they came before him, the monarch asked the prisoner, "What will you give me if I release you?" The man said, "Half of my wealth I would give you. How about if I release your children? Everything I possess I will give you." And Cyrus then said, "Well, what if I release your wife? Your Majesty, I will give myself." Cyrus was so moved by his devotion that he freed the prince and his whole family. As they returned home, the prince said to his wife, "Wasn't Cyrus a handsome man?" I don't know if I would have said something like that, but that's what this man evidently said. And with a look of deep love for her husband, she turned to him and said, "I didn't notice. I can only keep my eyes on you, the one who was willing to give himself for me." Memorial Day is a representation of the love of Christ. So please follow as I read from John chapter 15, verses 11 through 14. These are the words of Jesus Christ. He said this, "I have spoken these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my command, love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do what I command you." Like the man being willing to die for his wife, there have been many soldiers in our country who have died for the cause of their country and countrymen. This is the great love that Jesus spoke of in John chapter 15. But remember, Jesus himself, in speaking of this kind of sacrificial love, he knew that he was going to demonstrate an even greater love than laying down his life for just a friend. Yes, he laid down his life for his friends, the disciples. But Jesus also laid down his life for his enemies. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. It says in Romans 5, 6 through 10, it says, "While we were still helpless, at the appointed moment, Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person, or perhaps someone might even dare to die. But God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, since we have now been declared righteous by Jesus' blood, we will be saved through him from wrath, from hell." Verse 10, listen to this. "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life?" Paul is saying here, Jesus died for us while we were still claiming to be his enemies. Folks, when we are dead in sin, we are Christ's enemies. Before we accept Jesus as Lord or commander of our life and Savior of our eternity, we are his enemies. Oh, there are some who have lived a life of respecting God, or at least they think they do, and respecting the clergy and the church and churchgoers and things like that. But still, they are an enemy of God because they are in sin. And they haven't been rescued from their sin. And that's what this talks about. Jesus' death made a way made a way for people to be made right before God. And then his resurrection, remember, he is the first of the resurrected, which means that our salvation is that we too will follow in resurrection and be alive forever with him. What a beautiful thing. What a great sacrifice. So, God in the person of Jesus Christ, think about this. In the person of Jesus Christ, God came to earth and made himself human, the God-man Jesus, and then submitted himself to his own creation to be killed by his own creation for that sacrifice. And the question might be, why? John 3:16 and 17. For God loved the world in this way, that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish in hell, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world that he might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So Jesus, the God-man, submitted himself to his creation because he knew the only way for a person to be made right before Almighty God was for a blemishless sacrifice to be made. And he knew he was that blemishless sacrifice. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful person to memorialize as we think of Memorial Day. Well, this Memorial Day, we honor those who sacrificed their lives for this country. Scripture very much says this is a good thing. This is something that needs to happen. If we look at Romans chapter 13, verse 7, it says, pay your obligations to everyone. Taxes to those who you owe taxes. We don't like to hear that one. Tolls to those you owe tolls. Respect to those you owe respect. Honor, and I say memorial, to those you owe honor and memorial. This is right by the Lord. Captain Rickenbacker did this with something simple like memorializing a seagull. Because he understood that God's provision of that seagull is what saved his life. He didn't worship seagulls, but he remembered God's provision every time he fed the gulls every Friday evening. What a beautiful thing. In memorial for his own personal life. But more than sacrifice, you see, Memorial Day is a time we remember courage of our nation's military. The Bible speaks of courage as well. For the Christian, courage is always in light of faith, and having courage in our faith and in our belief in Christ, to stand tall, to stand strong, even in the face of fear. 1 Corinthians 16:13, be alert, stand firm in the faith, act like a man, be courageous. In the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, haven't I commanded you, God said? Haven't I commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wow. That is the kind of courage, that's the kind of message I'm hoping we can help Faith by Hearing send our soldiers through this Bible stick, to be able to send them the message that God can be with them. All they need to do is accept Jesus as their commander in chief, and God will be with them wherever they go. Speaking with a friend of mine who I just recently have met and gotten to know, and I'm not sure where he stands before the Lord, but there's one thing he told me. He said, there are no atheists in the foxhole. He's been out there. He's been shot at. He said, I'm going to tell you what, I've seen men that before they went over, I don't believe there's a God. They're out there. They're believing there's a God. You see, there are many stories of courage of our American military that's going to be told tomorrow. But today, I'd like to share a story of courage of a Christian who faced a formidable adversary after many battles as a soldier. The Prussian king, Frederick the Great, was widely known as an agnostic. Certainly did not believe Jesus was God. But by contrast, General von Zeeland, one of his most trusted officers, was a devout Christian. And it was that during a festive gathering, the king began making crude jokes about Christ until everybody was rocking with laughter. All but General von Zeeland, that is. Finally, General von Zeeland arose and addressed the king. And this is what he said. "Sire, you know I have not feared death. I have fought and won 38 battles for you. I'm an old man. I shall soon have to go into the presence of one greater than you, the mighty God who saved me from my sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you are blaspheming. Oh, I salute you, sire, as an old man who loves his Savior on the edge of eternity." The place was dead silent. And with a tremble in his voice, the king replied, "General von Zeeland, I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon." And with that, the party quietly ended. Let me tell you something. That took great courage to stand firm. I don't care how much of a soldier he was. That took great courage to stand firm for his Savior Jesus. I believe General von Zeeland knew God's promise found in Psalm 23:4. "Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger. For you, God, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And I also believe he lived Jesus' words when Jesus said, as we read in Mark chapter 8:38, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." So General von Zeeland, a man of courage, a man of courage on the battlefield, like many men in our American military, a man of courage for Jesus Christ, even standing before his king. Though Memorial Day is about sacrifice, it's about courage. Memorial Day is a day of mourning, not M-O-R-N-I-N-G, but M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. And we mourn those who have died. You see, that's the trouble with memorials. The only way for a memorial to exist is for something like a seagull from our opening story, or for someone to have passed from this life. But as General George Patton said, "It is foolish and wrong to mourn the men who died. Rather, we should thank God that such men lived." I think that describes what a memorial is. But though we can thank God for the lives of the men and women who have sacrificed for this United States, that does not leave the fact that there is a pain in death. It's very real. It still happens. It is something that must be endured until the day Jesus comes and sets up his eternal kingdom and conquers death completely. So we read in Psalm 34:18, "The Lord is near the brokenhearted. He saves those crushed in spirit." I don't know all of you to know who you've lost because of war. And some of you may have lost because of war, but any loss in your life, this verse, I hope, is a comfort. Psalm 34:18, "The Lord is near the brokenhearted. He saves those crushed in spirit." And what Jesus said in Matthew 5:4, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." I've mourned before. It's been hard for me to count it as a blessing. It has. But yet, because we have the comfort of God, we can be blessed. So it's not just comfort that one receives from a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, but it's also strength. The strength that one can have. I love this verse in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. It says, "Do not fear, for I," that is God, "am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand." It is because of Christ's sacrifice, we as Christians and Christian soldiers, like my cousins who I mentioned are in the special forces and facing some real fears right now. It is because of Christ that we can face life with hope of eternal life. I don't know if I mentioned this before, but I will again if so. I just think it's so amazing. One of my cousins said to his dad, he said, "Dad, I just want you to know, if anything happens to me over there, it's okay. Because my family's taken care of." He has a wife and two kids. "My family's taken care of. And everything with me and God's right. So don't worry about me." I'm like, wow. That's hope. That's sacrifice. That's courage. That's hope. All tied into that statement, I felt. Revelation 21:4. "There will be a day," this is our hope, "Jesus will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will no longer exist. Grief, crying, and pain will exist no longer, because the previous things have passed away." Jesus said in John 14, verses 1 to 3, "Your heart must not be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If not, I would have told you. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. I'm going away to, and when I go away, I will come back again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, you can also be." He continued in John 14, verse 27. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Your heart must not be troubled or fearful." For the many men and women who sacrificed their lives for the cause of this country, we're grateful. I know that. I know most of you quite well. We're grateful for their sacrifice. But I think of the countless many across our world who have sacrificed their lives for the cause of Jesus Christ. We must remember the words of the Apostle Paul, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 14. He says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, concerning those who are asleep," who have died, "so that you will not grieve like the rest who have no hope. Since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, in the same way God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep through Jesus." I think you'll enjoy this. During his reign, King Frederick William III of Prussia found himself in trouble. Wars had been costly, and in trying to build the nation, he was seriously short of finances. He couldn't disappoint his people, and to capitulate to the enemy was unthinkable. So after careful reflection, he decided to ask the women of Prussia to bring their jewelry of gold and silver to be melted down for their country. For each ornament received, he determined to exchange a decoration of bronze or iron as a symbol of his gratitude. Each decoration would be inscribed, "I gave gold for iron, 1813. The response was overwhelming. Even more important, these women prized their gifts from the king more highly than their former jewelry. The reason, of course, is clear. The decorations were proof that they had sacrificed for their king. Indeed, it became unfashionable to wear jewelry, and thus was established the Order of the Iron Cross. Members wore no ornaments except a cross of iron for all to see. When Christians come to their king, they too exchange the flourishes of their former life for a cross. And when a Christian comes to the end of their life, they exchange that cross for a crown. We have many military members who know Jesus and love Jesus. Let's make sure that we are praying for them to be able to spread the gospel, because God's sending them, at the cost of our tax dollars, across the world. The bottom line is this: if Captain Rickenbacker could memorialize a seagull for life, we can memorialize our soldiers for their life and our lifestyle, right? But as Christians, we have a much greater responsibility to memorialize our commander and savior, Jesus Christ, for our life eternal. And those Christians, whether soldiers or not, who sacrifice their life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The best way to do this, to memorialize our Savior and those who have gone before us as Christians, is for each of us to determine to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I hope that we'll do that. Remember what Romans 10:17 says. It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by what is heard through the message about Christ. That is what we have as our job as soldiers of the cross. May we memorialize truly the U.S. soldiers. That is something that I think is worthy of our time and efforts as we approach tomorrow. But may we also remember that ultimately the greatest sacrifice ever was that of Jesus sacrificing in our place for our sins. And let's spread the gospel. For our invitation today,